Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to With Insights. I'm your host, Iggy Garcia, streaming live on the World Wide Web, on withinsightsradio.com, on the Blog Talk Radio Network. For the next 60 minutes, we will be learning about With Insights. All our friends on the show have something to share and something to give. So I want you to sit back and relax, fasten your seatbelts, and let's get ready for the ride.
Welcome to With Insights Radio. I'm your host, Iggy Garcia.
Rosa Garcia Bell.
We're here live in Columbus, Ohio, streaming on the World Wide Web. Give thanks to technology today because we are able to stream to you and talk to you and be here with you and you know, and enjoy this wonderful hour we get to spend with you and talk about our weekend and then kind of our day.
Absolutely. Yeah, happy Monday. Nothing, well, mundane Monday.
Mundane Monday.
At least for me. I actually took a little break from my routine. I took the day off. I took a mental wellness day from work and just relaxed, did a tiny little bit of shopping, and then went snapped and, you know, ate and napped and just had a really nice, relaxing day. I haven't had one of those days, I don't know, at least a year. It's been a long time since I've actually taken a day off for myself. So
yeah,
nice.
Sweet. It's kind of funny. You took a mundane off. I made it. I just energized. Mm-hmm. I got up this morning at 7:30 in the morning and just I fixed the fence. Mm-hmm. I worked on the yard. I mowed the yard and just went to town. You stopped by. You kind of saw my handiwork and Susie and everybody helping out, Sean and Quinlan and everyone. So.
Markel. Everybody was working. Busy bees. I was sleeping on your couch.
Yeah.
Everyone was working. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to rest. I felt my body just saying, you know what? You need a little siesta and just rest. But it was good. Good weekend. We had a wonderful day yesterday at ComFest, Community Festival here in Columbus, Ohio. We did a free hugs campaign.
Yes, we did.
And got lots of hugging out there. Spread the love. You know, sometimes people ask us why we do it. And we say, why not? I mean, really, it's just all love. Just
people always ask, so what are you going to get out of this? Hopefully a hug.
You know,
I mean, you don't hear that too much anymore.
Right. I think people are kind of, you know, expecting us. We've been doing it, I think it's our fourth year, right?
Yeah, actually, Markel, this is our fifth year.
Our fifth year?
Gosh, darn.
Wow, time flies.
Because she was in eighth grade when it started.
Okay.
And she already graduated this year.
Wow, that's wild. Yeah, she graduated. That's amazing.
And so the numbers don't lie. Yeah, we've been hugging for
5 years.
Many years, but officially we've been hugging as a hug club or whatever you want to call it.
It's a hug club.
Mm-hmm. And we've been, you know, just embracing and, you know, there's some people just need it. You know, the coolest thing that happened at the end of the day was when this little differently abled little girl,
yeah.
I mean, we call him handicapped, but I call him differently abled.
Mm-hmm.
Was walking with her crutches, and I kind of saw her, but
she saw Ben.
But she saw Ben's shirt and just started. She got elated.
You could see her energy from the inside.
She was shaking. She was shaking in the.
He saw the free hug shirt.
Yeah, and Dad was like, "Oh, look, free hug shirt!" And you know, so Ben gave her a hug, and and then she still wanted more hugs, and then I gave her a hug, and
then I gave her a hug.
And it was so cute. She's the most beautiful little girl. She was such an angel.
Yeah.
And I was just like, that was like Ben said, that made the whole day. He said
that.
And I was like, you know, I have to agree with you, Ben. That was pretty amazing.
Yeah.
We were going way out, too.
We were getting ready to leave.
And you know, just thinking, you know, how grateful we are, you know, for our faculties and the things, you know, our body and our temples the way it is, you know, and this poor little girl, you know. Maybe she's not poor. I'm using the wrong terms, but it was, she taught us such a great lesson, you know, and just how
so much purity and love and her just recognizing something like our shirt and connecting with us without even communicating, but the body language and the communication that goes on with people, you know, internally and intuitively, because we communicate on a lot of different levels. She wanted a hug. She recognized the hug. She didn't speak.
Nope.
So. It was a lot of language thing. It was about this communication, and Ben tuned in on that, and he went over there and hugged her. And I thought that was really sweet. All of it was really beautiful.
Just supercharged hug. It was just amazing.
Uh-huh.
And the father was so grateful. You know, he was just like, thank you, thank you.
Exactly.
And, you know, and then we're kind of walking around after we were finished hugging for
right.
about 3 hours. And it was different. The energy was completely different.
I know. I think that's what did it for me. It was so tremendously hot out yesterday that they just knew better than to get really amped up. Everyone was moving a lot slower. You could hear the music on the stage was just slower.
Yeah, the bands were
Bands were slower. You can hear that it was amp music, but it was still like real mellow at the same time.
Yeah.
And people were just laying on their blankets, you know, enjoying the music, but really not a lot of movement. Usually people were up and dancing, moving around, you know, experiencing the event. I didn't see a lot of the food vendor lines filled. I thought people were that hungry. When you're that hot, when it's that hot, I don't think people get that hungry.
Well, I was, you know how I usually get hungry at these
right.
things. And really, quite frankly, I think I ate just because I had to eat, you know.
I was.
I'll ask for Rosa, said, should I have a corn dog? Should I get a hamburger? I mean, I was like really indecisive. So I ended up getting a corn dog and a steak on a stick.
Steak on a stick. I thought you were going to say something else. Okay. My mind is somewhere else. I thought you were going to say shake on a stick or something. I don't know.
Oh, no.
Yeah, what were you
doing? We got shakes later.
Yeah, we did get...
Peanut butter shakes.
Yeah, we ended up going to go see after ComFest. We ended up at the Lenox Theater, got tickets to go see Abraham Lincoln, the Vampire Slayer Hunter.
Yeah.
Whichever, I don't know which one it is. Forgive me.
I really liked that movie.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty tough. It was pretty good. I was.
It was very artistic. They took tremendous artistic liberties through to portray Lincoln's younger days before he was president.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was very interesting. You know, it got you thinking. It got me thinking too. The sense of, you know, what's written in history books. You know, is I don't know. You know, get you thinking. It was entertainment.
It was entertaining. But it was one of those things where, you know, wow, anything's possible.
Yeah.
And then someone's mind, they created this parallel universe of Abe Lincoln, you know, defending off the evilness or the
mm-hmm.
darkness.
Yeah.
In a different way.
It was definitely symbolic in the sense that, because I was thinking about the metaphor, you know, because you have literal level. You can
mm-hmm.
also look at it, what do you call it, symbolic, I guess
mm-hmm.
is what I was saying. And the movie is basically portraying that the they're vampires in the midst of in the United States, and a lot of them dwelled in the South, and they wanted slavery. They wanted to keep oppression down because that's what they needed food to survive off. And so I thought, you know, and the vampire, the Adam, who is
mm-hmm.
the original, one of the original vampires, was saying there's been slavery since the beginning of time, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, he makes a very good argument about, you know, that people have always taken advantage of one class or another. There's always been a superior class, if you will.
Right.
Somebody that's been in power. And, you know, there's a lot of truth to that as well. And one thing to remember is absolute power corrupts. So
right.
He felt absolutely powerful. At the end, it corrupted him. At the end, it was his demise.
Yeah. And to the point where he was blinded.
Yes.
You know? It was a blind confidence almost.
Very,
they
yeah.
were so confident that, you know, oh, well, you know, these guys are stupid and,
uh-huh.
you know, they're going to do it this way. And to the point where they were actually hoodwinked.
Yes.
You know, they were, you know, said, oh, I'm going to betray Lincoln. And actually, it wasn't the way.
Right.
I didn't think I, you know.
Best friend is going to
betray. I don't think he betrayed him, but I think he led on, you know, to make it look like that.
Well, they had
perfect.
To, yes.
He ended up losing his life, but, you know, I mean, that's a sacrifice for, in the movie, the country, I guess.
Yeah, that's a very interesting movie.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting, yeah. So, that was our weekend, kind of, you know.
Yeah, it was fun. I really enjoyed it. It was fun just to hang out with friends and family
mm-hmm.
and just do something different.
Yeah.
Susie stayed at home and just chilled and... And then I just kind of hung out with you guys and GB, and it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was a good day.
I enjoyed it.
It
tremendous
day. Absolutely. So I am going to pull a card for us for the theme of the show,
mm-hmm.
if you will. And let's see what Spirit wants to share with us today. And we'll go with this card. Okay. Wow. Well, the card that I selected is the bee. The bee is symbolizes, or one of the symbolisms of the bee is it talks about luck, industriousness, and sweet victory. And that could have been Abe Lincoln in the show yesterday. Mm-hmm. So when the bee buzzes onto your path, it's a reminder that with hard work and a firm commitment to building your dream, a sweet outcome is assured. The bee is a symbol of luck, so expect miracles and your life will be victorious and sweet. Remember that you also create your luck, your own luck. And so, again, your effort is essential as you progress along your path in order to make your dreams reality. So the bee is industrious. It's a busy creature that's always making honey. When I read that, I saw money. The bee gets busy, and that honey will soon be yours. The bee is always a fortunate omen. So I think that was by far
all. Very good.
Thank you, Spirit, for that message.
In the chat room, we do have people chatting. Let me put the call-in number there.
Okay.
So people can, our friends can call us. And
I was pulling from the one of my decks that calls to me is the Wisdom of Avalon Oracle deck card by Colette Baron-Reed. And Iggy usually pulls from a Power Animal Oracle card deck.
Yeah, from Stephen D. Farmer, Ph.D.
Okay.
I like those cards.
I do too.
Kind of goes, it's simple, and I kind of can feel the energy come off them pretty good and
mm-hmm.
kind of give an extended read off of them.
Mm-hmm. All right, absolutely.
Move around here as I navigate the waters. All right, folks, we're going to take 30 seconds, and we'll be right back.
Mm-hmm.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com and WithInsights.com, your free online holistic publication resource magazine for achieving self-discovery and inspiration. Please feel free to explore our daily inspirational quotes and uplifting stories, exclusive interviews with local world-known inspirational leaders.
You are listening to With Insights Radio with your host, Garcia and Rosa Garcia Dahl. We're here live on the World Wide Web, streaming on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Now we take it to the next half of the show where we'll be giving you card readings. We'll actually be tapping in and sharing with you insights that you actually have inside yourself. We'd like you to share on this forum. Tell us about your weekend. Tell us about what's on your mind. And with that, on into the comments. Ready?
Yes.
Let's see. We have a caller here. 631, you're on the air.
Hello, thank you for taking my phone call.
You're welcome. Yes. What is your name, caller?
Suzanne.
Suzanne, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Are you doing readings?
Yes, we are.
Okay. I had a question. That's weighing heavy on my heart. Do you think my son will ever come back to live with me? If so, when?
Okay.
I couldn't hear the question.
She is asking if her son will come back to live with her.
Okay.
And it's weighing very hard on her heart.
Got it.
All right. All right. I did pull a card for you. I pulled the seal card, which is, talks about imagination, immerse yourself in artistic and creative expression. Okay, when I pull these cards, the answers kind of flows within the reading itself, so you're going to have to pay really good attention to what I say. I can't really tell you if a yes or no answer, but you'll kind of feel the energy flow through just from our conversation. This seal represents a creature that's out of its element when it's on land. When it's in the water, it's in its most pristine form. It can move, it can bend, it can swim, and it can just do whatever. It can dance a magical dance, okay? Now, the biggest part of it is the water it flows through, okay? The seal cuts through the water. The water is very purifying, very cleansing. So what I'm feeling here, what Spirit wants you to do is to somehow find some kind of cleansing ceremony that you can do for yourself to clear yourself in the situation you're in. Because the situation you're in is pretty strong, and it's pretty powerful to ask somebody, a total stranger, if your son's going to come back. I'm not privileged to that to those answers for you, but I'm only can give you reading from what's coming to me. And what they're asking me to tell you is to be very artistic and very, very creative in your expression. I don't know what that means. I don't know what they're trying to say. It might be something you can gather from what this card reading is coming from, and maybe Rosa
right.
has more of an insight for you.
Suzanne, there is a echo on the line. I don't know if your speaker's on the turned up.
No,
or
no.
What? No? Okay. Okay. It must be on our end. The card I pulled for you that might make the Iggy's reading kind of pulled together, I believe, is the card of communication. And the spirit is asking about, this could be a matter of communication as far as communicating what your needs are in the situation, if you've done that already. And also, I also feel spirit, and I'm kind of going off of what spirit's asking me to share with you, is that time is going to heal the situation as well. There's a sense of urgency on your part, a sense of very strong desire on your part.
My son's young. What do I just wait till he's 18? Time doesn't heal when you miss your son.
That's right. You're absolutely right. The part of the communication card that I pulled up is spirit's asking if you've communicated all your needs to your son. Does he understand? Is he able to make a decision? How old is your son?
11.
11. Is this a custody situation?
Yeah, I had custody until he was like 9 and a half, almost 10. And his dad just kept fighting me, and I couldn't have any more money and stuff. And my son just said, I'll live with dad because I can't take the fighting anymore. But he was living with me. So now he's living with his dad for a year and a half now. And, you know, his dad just wants more and more and more control. I'm not even getting the weekend supposed to get, but the paperwork doesn't say exactly. It's just a mess, so I just have to suffer.
Okay. Ask, there's a lot of charge on this. So, and the thing is that that energy, the fighting charge, that energy is feeding each other. It's
no,
feeding
I'm not
the cycle.
Anymore. I haven't fought. I'm back down. There's nothing to fight. He won. There's nothing I can do. I'm not fighting anymore. I just there's no hope.
Okay. Just remember, if you choose to believe this, there's always hope, because that's what's kept me alive all these years when I've thought that there was no hope for situations that I've been in. It's a total surrender at this point on your part, and asking spirit to help guide you and show you the way, the signs, and ask for a miracle at this point, because I can feel that, you know, you want your son, you want those precious times, you want to share those experiences with him, and you're his mother, and I feel that that's your right as well. So we ask for a miracle in this situation for you to become, so that some energy can flow to release this this control that your husband has over
yeah,
the situation at this point.
We have joint custody. And the stupid paperwork says full residential. So he's telling everybody, and even the courts or this or that, he has full custody when he doesn't.
I'm sending out a prayer to the universe now to release that stronghold that your ex has over the situation, and that that the needs of your son are focused upon, that his needs, that the joint custody, true joint custody, can be achieved in this situation. So that's what I'm sending out to the universe right now. And I think that's...
Yeah, the universe is also telling me that for both parents to understand that, you know, your child is on loan to you for a short period of time.
Absolutely.
The child can't become a token of...
He just doesn't need a dad.
And the thing is, unfortunately, both of you are the parents, and unfortunately, from the situation where I'm listening to, is that somehow the paperwork got jumbled somehow and got screwed up. It was
no,
a miscue.
No, it didn't.
Okay.
No.
Okay. Because it sounded like you said that it was about full custody, or you guys had 50-50 custody, but he says he has full custody. So without seeing the papers or siding with anybody here, I'm just kind of going about what you were saying and echoing back to you.
it says joint, but then it says full residential, which means that he just lives with him, but I still have joint custody, but he's telling everybody he has full custody.
I see. Okay. But the court says that you guys are this way,
correct? Joint. But he tells everybody that he has full. They must
but,
think
let me
Uncle's
ask you a question.
Or something.
You do see your son, correct? You do see him?
I do.
Okay.
And I was supposed to
right.
see him more than I do,
What I'm going to say is this. Every moment you're with your son, take that moment, especially with an 11-year-old child. Mm-hmm. My kids are all grown up. My oldest
I
is
have
22, and my youngest is 16, and my daughter's 19. Every moment you can possibly have with any person, I mean, sometimes it's very difficult because we're human and we get in our own ways. Try to be the best moments you can have with your child, because I'll guarantee you right now, and I'm going to tell you right now, they turn 18 very quickly. And,
no,
you know,
I do that. Never mind. You don't understand. You're not a mom who doesn't have her son like she used to every
no,
day.
No, I understand. I totally get what you're saying. I don't understand your point of view. I get that. But I'm just telling you, the universe says be like water and flow and just cleanse like that. And I guess that's what the reading was for the seal.
Mm-hmm.
And will you get your son back? You already have your son. You haven't lost. And if that's what you wanted to hear, your son's with you when he's with you. And so you don't really ever, you've never really lost him. You only
not
lose
lost.
Him.
Dad thinks he's even trying to get more control out of him, you know.
Yeah, just, you don't, you know, to be honest with you, he's with you. You're never going to lose him, ever.
And it's interesting because I'm not in the exact situation. I have an 11-year-old son, and where I'm not always with my boys. And it's a shared parenting situation, so it's a little different. You know, we actually, we are able to share, so not always equally, but we do our best to make it as equal for the kids' sake. There's obviously a something for a greater purpose being served here, and sometimes we're not able to see it at the moment, and it's painful when you're going through it. In time, you will be able to see what this is all about, and your son will be able to, you know, you still have an influence over him, and he still has an influence over you. So it's the quality of the time that you spend with them is the most important, as you know. It's the quality of time that you spend with your kids. So thank you so much for sharing this this heaviness that I feel in your heart. And I just I pray for a miracle so that the child's best interests are served here. Thank
All
you,
right.
caller. Really
thank you.
Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Those are tough situations.
Those are very challenging situations because, we become in a situation where we become very possessive over people. Possessive over the time, possessive over our expectations and so forth of others.
Mm-hmm.
It's selfish in a way, you know, I have to say, because it's the needs of the child need to come first always. So.
Yeah, and then my kids on the other extreme are like, oh, Dad, get away from me, you know. Too
right.
much stuff. You know, it's just how the game, it's just the decks that we get rolled sometimes.
Sometimes it is decks. We don't see, we're not able to really see exactly how this is all going to unfold. But I think what we always need to remember is, you know, a lot of times people call for readings. It's really what you do in the moment. It's what you're doing with the life that, the deck that you've been given, if you will, you know, and how you choose to kind of move through that energy. And, you know, when you pull a card like water card, like you pulled, you know, I feel spirit is about, you know, how that energy and those emotions are flowing through you. And you go from there. But being stuck in one emotion state or being, especially one that can be destructive like anger and resentment,
mm-hmm.
I mean, that's very damaging to your psyche, to your physical being, to your intuitive self.
Yeah, it's more about yourself than anything
mm-hmm.
where the anger and stuff boils in, because that carries over into your own body and you start to become sick. You start,
right.
you know, Dr. Emoto, when he talked about, you know, the crystalline water, you know, when they looked it under a microscope, when it was positive reinforcement, a positive thing, the crystals were beautiful. And when it was a negative charge or some bad, terrible heavy metal music, and the charge in the water was ugly and nasty.
It was not able to hold a form. It wasn't
mm-hmm.
able to be to connect to the other crystals and form connectivity, if you will. So it was just a blob of energy not moving through the crystalline shape. Not to say the crystals are pretty and, you know, and blobs of energy aren't. It's about how the energy moves through your body.
And, you know, you understand, and you don't have to understand, but we are water.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a big percentage of our body is made from water.
Right.
a word can change our whole being, our whole moment.
Right.
Someone can love us, say a pretty word. Someone can say a very nasty word to us and totally change our whole outlook on things.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree. It takes a very strong individual to be able to say, oh, okay, that was really painful and whatever, and move from that and build yourself up and you rebuild a new to build anew from there. So yeah.
And I find that, you know, when I work with people, it's about them rebuilding their self-esteem, mm-hmm. rebuilding their loss, because a lot of it's loss, you know. Loss can be a whole different thing.
Well, you know, I believe that, you know, everything is a projection of mm-hmm. upon ourselves. It's what we've lost, a part of ourselves in that person. Mm-hmm. Like when somebody passes, you know, when somebody breaks up with another person, it's what we're mourning, the loss of ourselves,
mm-hmm.
how we've given ourselves away in that relationship or in that whatever, you know, relationship with father, son, you know, daughter, son, whatever, you know, boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife, you know, we're mourning a loss when it ends, or when we perceive that it ends, it's mourning a loss of self. How we've lost ourselves, how we get ourselves away from that relationship, and then like rebuild ourselves mm-hmm. and, you know, redefine who we are. Because,
well, that's the thing, Rosa. I agree with you mm-hmm. because if we work on ourselves, that then we're half the battle's won.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because a lot of it is our projections, like you're saying,
mm-hmm.
how we perceive the world from that point. You know, oh, well, you know, I got someone hates me now, or they don't like me, or
mm-hmm.
you know, this or that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, constantly, a constant lifetime working on yourself is inevitable. You have to do it. You can't just say, oh, I'm here.
Right.
Because every situation that you encounter, every moment that you experience is completely different.
You know, how I look at it is I'm responsible for myself. So whatever situations come my way, especially the situations that I create first in my mind, the internal dialogue that I have about situations, people, places, things, or things that have happened or things that are going to happen, I feel responsible. I feel that I have responsibility to somehow story that's more loving and peaceful mm-hmm. in my mind, instead of having, you know, these internal conflicts that ultimately lead to reality, my life, because
mm-hmm.
it all comes from the inside out is how I feel it works. And I'm only going off of my personal experience, and I'm really conscious of what's processing up in my, percolating in my brain, and how that's reflecting in my outside world. And then I realized, you know, situations that are currently happening in my life, and I'm like, okay, so how did I create this?
Right.
You know, and since I created it, I also know that I can also create it to happen another way, or do it, you know, have a different outcome to an extent.
Sure.
You know, I may not be able to create every exact moment.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody really wants to do that. And I'm not necessarily recommending anyone do that, because you're not really flowing through life. But what you could do is change how you experience about what's happening in your life. And in turn, your situation changes because
yeah.
you change your perception.
Well, that's what Dr. Hu Lin says, the Ho'oponopono, self-identity
mm-hmm.
Ho'oponopono
mm-hmm.
master. He goes, when you realize you're 100% for everything,
responsible for everything.
You're in the situation. And if there's a situation and something's going on, well, you're part of that situation. You're part of that solution. You're part of that problem.
Mm-hmm.
You have to address it. You have to face it. You have to go, you know what? I take responsibility for the parts that I have given into and I've, you know, left in this relationship. And so it took me a while to understand that. But, you know, I would, you know, I saw, you know, when I have his functions and he would talk about, people would ask questions, well, this happened to me. He goes, well, you're part of the, you're responsible for that. You created that.
Mm-hmm.
You're the masterful creator.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everything that you encounter in your life, you've created good and perceived bad.
Mm-hmm.
That you're so powerful that you don't even realize that you're creating all this stuff around you.
Well, that's the thing is, you make a really good, I like the point that you made is that, you know, we label that as good or bad. You know, our last caller was saying, you know, she's in a situation and from her perspective, it's a bad situation. It's
sure.
painful. It's real.
She owns that.
She owns that. And that's fine. You know, she's allowed to be there. But also remember that even that pain and that suffering, it all serves a purpose.
Absolutely.
You know, it all has meaning. Suffering is not in vain. That's a sign that we're awakening. That's a sign that we are becoming conscious. awakening or consciousness. Those are can be kind of synonymous terms, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
It's a sign that our higher self is saying, you are ready to move and advance and to evolve into something higher than what you are now as far as an elevated conscious being is concerned.
Okay.
Now, this is your opportunity, if you choose to take it, to move through the situation with a, and to be a master and shift that. It's our ego that is there to protect us that creates the block, the roadblock. It wants to keep us controlled and keep us in situations that are very familiar. And, you know, conflict is very familiar. It's a very, sometimes it's what we know best, you know. And a lot of times we learn best from conflict. I mean, it's just kind of the way it is. I mean, I know that I learn my lessons real well.
Sure.
Like when I burn myself on the stove, I don't have to burn myself a second time to know that I'm going to get burned. I mean, I get it, you know.
That's why man and woman hold a diamond so, they revere diamonds so much.
Mm-hmm.
That's why diamonds are so precious.
Okay.
They're a piece of coal.
Mm-hmm.
When they first start, but that pressure and that pressure and that pressure turns into a diamond.
Yes.
And becomes a very rare and a very beautiful thing. So we're like coal, pieces of coal, constantly being pushed and pressed. And, you know, even in our good times, we're being pushed and pressed, you
mm-hmm.
know. That's what people don't realize. We fail to see that sometimes. That we're also, we learn so much from that when we're pressured, because then we have to sink or swim or do something
mm-hmm.
or navigate out of those waters. And, you know, if you don't have challenges in your life, then I'm glad for you. But challenges kind of also help us, like you're saying. You know, challenges also kind of give us a different perspective on things.
Mm-hmm.
How maybe we're not seeing things in another person's eye. You know, everybody has their own belief systems, their own views of what life is supposed to look like to them. So you got 7.5 billion people on the planet, and every single person is creating simultaneously,
mm-hmm.
sleeping or awake.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine that. Just, I mean, if you can't fathom that for 2 seconds,
right.
The beauty and the magic and the miracle that you are. And when people start to realize that they're magic and they're a miracle, and then they have the gift, when they start to know what love is inside themselves,
mm-hmm.
then they're going to attract the things that are familiar, that love. And
mm-hmm.
when you start acting, when you start playing out, when you start doing certain things, you will attract like energy. And that's where
mm-hmm.
the secret talked about, you know.
Right.
And, you know, but
there is the polarity,
yes.
that you can attract. There is also the like energies attract as well.
Sure.
So there are relationships out there where people are opposites and they've attracted. And later on, they've realized that they don't really resonate with each other for a long period of time.
What is that?
Yeah, what is that exactly?
Why? Because you know what? We evolve, we change,
exactly.
we constant. You know, I remember when someone first told me, go, I met my soulmate. I'm like, oh, congratulations.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
You know, and I'm like, that's awesome. I'm glad you met
right.
him. You know, because a soulmate doesn't only just loves you and every integral part of you, they will also expose you, and
mm-hmm.
they will also make you feel, and they will also show you your weaknesses. They will also
mm-hmm.
show you, and they will also make you
mm-hmm.
feel very uncomfortable as much as they make you feel loved.
Yes.
A soulmate is not only there to show you, oh, la, 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 you know,
yes.
look at me, we're in love. No,
right,
a
right.
soulmate will also show you your darkest places that you don't know. And
those areas that
you
still need to be
hide.
Healed. Yeah, those are areas that still need to be looked at. You know, I think everyone comes in our life, you know, as a gift. And
mm-hmm.
it's, you know, even though the people that are just, you know, from the inside might initially repulse you, you might find a tremendous amount of judgment. Well, there's a good lesson there for you to, you know, stop and, you know, evaluate yourself, evaluate the situation you're in. You're like, wow, you know, if this has such a negative charge on me, that person's here to teach me something about myself.
Uh-huh.
What about that person is in me that I don't like?
Right.
It's an aspect, because it's an aspect of yourself that you don't like.
Sure.
Because everything is rejection. I'm
right.
creating you and how you're appearing to me and how,
right.
how I'm expressing myself true. About you. Because everything we experience ourselves through our own self about another person. Because you'll never know me. I'll never really know, you know, my kids. I'll never really know my boss. You know what I'm saying? I'll never really know my sisters. I will only know my experience and my opinions that I've formed about them. And like you said, everyone's on loan to us. So, you know, look at it like we have a precious amount of time to really be in the moment.
And, you know, that's the thing. Life is we're everything's on loan to us, even the air we breathe, you know? Everything.
Everything.
And when you go around life combating everything that you don't like, or things that situations that hurt you and people that hurt you, and mm-hmm. or things that you like. I mean, life is so magical. Mm-hmm. So magical when we just let the stuff nod off of us and just say, you know what?
Mm-hmm.
I can't hold it. I can't carry this burden.
It's,
you know,
it, absolutely. And the thing is, it was never your burden to carry to begin with. You know, what if that was true? What if we sometimes, as little kids, you know, we want to try to take care of our parents. We want to try to make things right for them. You know, we want to try because as little kids, we see that there's disorder, there's conflict in the family, and that causes a conflict within themselves.
Who becomes the parent?
And then the child feels very responsible over that. So they act out behavior that's either compliant or defiant in order to regain control, because there's a part of them that's very naive. Mm-hmm. They've gone from innocence to naivety to naiveness into the role of wanting to parent their parent, take care of everybody, you know. And the same, what's happening is they sacrifice their child, their innocence, in order to do that, and that's a martyr. They've turned into a martyr. And how many times have you done that in your life? How many times, and this is a rhetorical question for anybody listening, you know, how many times have, you know, you felt like you were going to change that person or help that person or try to make that a better situation where it wasn't done out of invitation, it was done out of your being uncomfortable or your own neediness to try to make things a situation right?
And it's funny you bring that up because, I mean, we only work with the tools we've been given.
Right.
The tools we've learned.
Mm-hmm.
There are some of us who have honed our gifts and, you know, made them better. But mm-hmm. we're only as far as the apple tree drops, you know, fruit from it. You know,
yeah,
our parents, or, you know, our grandparents, whoever raised us, whoever was our biggest influence is, you know, when you start looking and you hear people say, oh, I'm just like my mom, I'm just like my dad, what the heck? You hear people say that.
Or you hear people say, I'll never be like my dad,
yeah.
or I'll never be like, and guess what happens? You're exactly like your mom, or you're exactly like your dad.
Oh, you've been so, you were so defiant that you didn't want to be them.
And you turn into them.
Or you became something completely different.
And you can become something completely,
you know,
different.
That is also,
but at the same time, they still own you.
Yeah,
because
they gave you
that owns you. That belief owns you because number one, you're trying so hard to be different or so hard to be different or the same. You're still going from the same charge of you don't want to be like them or you don't want to something, you know, where another way to look at that could be, you know, when you step into this new a rite of passage, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we talked about this a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Rite of passage is where you look at your situation and you said, Mom, if you have a mom, if you're so lucky to have a mom, or Dad, if you're so lucky to have a dad, you know, your values work for you, for your time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to take a little bit of that, I'm going to take a little bit of what Mom believes, and I'm going to make my own belief and kind of, and thank you very much because you gave me life. At the same time, I'm stepping into a new time and day where your beliefs don't necessarily work for this time and age. Your beliefs don't, your values don't really fit for me. So, yeah, hand those back to you respectfully. I hand those back to you, Mom, respectfully. And this is going to be who I am and how I step into the world.
Yeah.
It's powerful.
It's very powerful.
It's powerful. You don't realize how loyal you are to the beliefs of your family
mm-hmm.
until you get with somebody, you know, a boyfriend or a girlfriend or a significant other, and they start putting the toilet paper on backwards or, you know, they don't make the bed exactly the way you do or, you know, then mm-hmm. start introducing kids into the mix. And, oh, my gosh, you know, I don't spank my kids. Well, I spank my kids. I feel kids should be taught respect, and this is how you do it, through discipline. And, you know, there's just so many factors
right.
involved. You know, you start to evolve. Yeah.
All right. Let's take a break, and then we'll come back to some more callers here, and we'll be right back.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com and WithInsights.com, your free online holistic publication resource magazine for achieving self-discovery and inspiration. please feel free to explore our daily inspirational quotes and uplifting stories, exclusive interviews with local world-known inspirational leaders.
Welcome back to WithItRadio.com. Iggy Garcia.
Rosa Garcia Bell.
We're here live, and we hope you're enjoying this conversation. We do have open forum today. That's kind of what we're doing. We're giving readings as well. From time to time, we have guests. Last week, we had a wonderful guest, Mr. What was his name again? No, I was joking. Anyhow, but it was fun. It was a good show. We really enjoyed that. And let's see, we're going to roll in here into this next segment with another caller who's been waiting here patiently. We really appreciate you calling in. And like I said, some of these questions aren't easy to answer. And sometimes it's not easy to hear and want to hear the things that you may hear. And the reading may not sound like the answer you want. But when you start to decipher the metaphor, when you start to break through the, you know, the layers, you'll start to understand that... you're just telling, the universe is telling you, and you're telling us through the universe what you need to hear sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And let's proceed. All right, 229, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome. Who do we have with us?
My name is Melvin.
Welcome, Melvin.
Yes.
What's on your mind?
Well, basically... a lot, but I just wanted to see, can I get a, you know, reading today?
Yes, okay. Absolutely. Let me go ahead and pull a card for
you.
Going to
pull a card for you?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir.
Where are you calling from?
Georgia.
Very nice. Well, I pulled an interesting card for you from the Wisdom of Avalon card, the Oracle deck from Colette Baron-Reed. And the card that I pulled for you, Spirit is wanting to share with you today, is the it's called the Stag. And this, do you know what a stag
is? No, not really. No, ma'am.
Yeah, stag is like a really big masculine deer, a white deer.
It's got huge, humongous horns on it. Like, it survived. It had to be like, out of the deer, the ones that have the biggest racks, if you will, are the ones that are able to, yeah. You don't know stag with the rack of horns. Exactly.
18.
Well, this card is about pride and leadership, okay? So when the stag appears on your path, he tells you to take pride in all you do. Be the leader and hold your head high, and others will follow by your example. Ask yourself these questions. Am I following my highest path? Am I acting in integrity and doing the best I can? Or am I being held back by the kind of pride that cuts me off from my life through arrogance or its reverse, low self-esteem? The stag asks you to be a leader, be proactive with the highest of intentions, and to always ask, what is the highest good for all? So arrogance and its reverse are both places of alienation and always to avoid responsibility and accountability. So the stag leads you out to, of both difficult places into the kind of pride that reminds you that you're always in service to the god or goddess in every step you take. You may already be there, in which case you should be proud and be happy. So look for how far you've come. Rejoice, the stag always leads you to a higher place with a sure and steady footing. Okay?
Very good.
Okay. Yeah. Man.
Okay.
No pressure there, right?
Okay. Yeah. So I hope that kind of gets you thinking about taking that in a different direction. Okay.
All right. Thanks for calling.
Thank you very much. Stay cool.
Well, can I ask you a question? Okay.
Sure.
Relationship question.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
It's a friend of mine that stays, her and I stay at the same apartment complex, but I'm interested in her, and her name is Nicole.
Uh-huh.
And but she's younger than I, but she's very, very mature. She's a school teacher. and she has one little kid, and I just want to know, like, do you see any friendship developing or any contact of us talking, maybe going out for dinner or lunch or coffee or anything?
Well, I pulled a card for you. I actually pulled the koala card. The koala talks about empathy, speak less, and listen more. You're going to have to be like a, instead of being the big stag, here you're going to have to be like a little gentle, like the koala a little bit on your approach with her. You're going to have to be a person who listens instead of speaks, you know, your mind. My experience is, you know, you learn a lot more about somebody by listening and engaging and know when to interject and when to say something. So will you have dinner with this person? I don't know. That's kind of your movie to write and figure out how you're going to do that. But one of the key aspects here is to be gentle, like the koala, listen. He's a little fluffy dude. You don't want to be the big stag here going.
And then the thing is with the koala, they move very slowly. They're very methodical. And that's what they're.
But they have an intent.
Yeah, they have their intent. You know, they have a goal in mind. I think that as long as your intentions are, you know, friendship first, that's always, uh-huh. in my opinion, as far as, you know, from a women's perspective, it's always longer lasting, long-term commitment if you can approach it very slowly with a friendship perspective. Because ultimately, you know, you want a partnership with someone. A woman is looking for a partnership, somebody who, you know, can be mutually beneficial, mutual on both ends. So, again, I like what Iggy said. You know, it resonates with me is, you know, be a listener. Be a good listener. Ask questions. And take things by invitation. Spirit is asking me to share that concept with you is make sure that the things that you do are by invitation. Do you know what I'm saying by that? Make it very, very invitational where it'll flow much easier for you mm-hmm. if you do it that way. If you do everything by invitation, it will flow and it will be effortless. But I think friendship is a great place to start. And
before dinner, I would have coffee.
Coffee or before dinner,
I would just start. Just get some coffee, you know, hey, let's go down to
friendship.
Ice cream. Get.
But I can feel you're really amped up over this, and you sound like energetically like somebody that you resonate with. Because you're intuitive.
Really.
Yeah, you're very intuitive in that. You. There's something about this person that really reminds you of who you are inside. It kind of gets you. So very good. That's all very, very nice.
All right. Thanks for coming.
Love is in the air.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, moving right along here.
Yeah, it's so interesting with the relationship questions because relationships, I find, mirrors what's happening on you on the inside. It really does. Whether or not you're attracting somebody in your life is...
Gee, I must be a big flirt then.
Yes, you
all
are.
The flirtation.
Iggy has lots of friends. We're giving free hugs out yesterday all day. I mean, he puts himself in situations where, you know, he's able to create a hug club, if you will, and we go out and do hugs.
Yeah, and it's all
festivals.
By invitation.
It is by invitation. When we go a hug, we're not chasing people down like, you better get, I want to hug you, come here.
Half the time I'm standing there.
The hug is like, we got a t-shirt that says free hugs, and you have your arms out, and if you want to give me a hug, fine. If you don't, fine. We also say, hey, high five, great, that works too. Well, you got to think about it. We were hugging people yesterday. It was like 90-plus degrees out. We were in the shade.
Hot. You were hot?
I was moving around a little bit more. I don't know. I was just like trying to dance, trying to get myself moving.
Okay,
so it must have been that caffeine before I came in. I had
a good
like
spot
a,
there.
Yeah, we did. It was good.
Spot.
Moving on.
Let's go to the next caller here.
Because we will talk about stuff. Go on and go.
All right, let me click this person on here.
Hello, caller.
Chat room here.
Okay.
It's weird.
All right. So speaking of relationships, you know, it's interesting because, you know, most of our callers are calling about relationships or career, a lot of the stuff. And, you know, if it's interesting, people are like, "How am I? When am I going to meet my person? When am I going to, you know?" Well, you know, I find that it happens when you least expect it. You know, I find that that connection is just is like, it's such a, I don't know, serendipitous type of happening, if you will, that you can't really make it happen. It just happens, you know?
And it happens when you least expect it.
That's what I'm saying.
You know, it's like, it's one of those, like you're saying.
Hits you over the head. It's just like, what?
You're like, then all of a sudden, like, whoa, what's going on? Wait a minute. Hold on.
Okay, it's like, what's happening here? Oh, my gosh.
Some people freak out.
Some people do freak out, absolutely. So,
you know, I had a friend, you know, some guy asked her out, and she knew he was going to ask her out, but she's like, I don't know how to tell him. I said, well, you got to be honest with him. You don't put yourself in a relationship that you don't want to be in.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, be honest with people up front and say, no, I just want a friendship, you know. And she says that was the right thing to do, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes we do have things out of loyalty, too, you know.
Yeah.
We find ourselves in relationships because we think we have to, or because, oh, this is good for now, you know. This is temporary. Well, temporary can become a long time endeavor very quickly if you're
Absolutely.
Not careful.
Yeah. And going into that perspective, that's you know, that's in the long run, you know, you think that you're being the wise fox there, but in the long run, that fox gets skin cooked, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He gets hided.
Oh, the fox will get, you know, his day.
The fox will have his day. So
that's true, Rosa. Very true.
You know, you think that, and a lot of times people go in the relationship because they have a bigger role playing out, and a lot of people like, oh, I'm going to go in there and rescue that person. They're, you know, they need help or whatever, and then the rescuer ends up becoming the victim. You know what I'm saying? It's like
right.
A lot of people come into this really interesting archetypal role where the person goes and thinking that they're the ones that are, they make themselves bigger. They think they're bigger than the other person,
right.
And it ends up reversing.
Yeah, and then sometimes we get a big head, you know, and we start
yes.
to think of things and didn't realize that we pushed away all the people that we so hardly worked, you know, to bring into our circle.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes, you know, when we bring people into our circle, we don't realize that it's a lot of work to maintain that circle too, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now you got all these new friends, you got all these new people.
Mm-hmm.
How do you fit in the circle?
Right.
You know?
Right.
Even though you created the circle, but how do you fit in that
circle?
Can
you still be an individual and be yourself without feeling the responsibility of maintaining the circle?
Right.
Especially for you, because you're a chief, you know?
Right.
Of Iggy's a chief of Menha. And we do a lot of different healing ceremonies, a lot of different activities and so forth. And, you know, people come and go as a circle. As time has gone, I've learned to just accept the fact that, you know, people are going to come into your life for a reason, into your life for a season. They come and go. Sometimes
mm-hmm.
they're there for, you know, a year or two. Sometimes they're only there for a couple weeks. You just
That's
don't
correct.
Know. So, again, it's all by invitation, and it's also everyone's on loan to us. It's a reminder that, you know, we just never know when, you know, that time was the last time we were going to have an interaction with that person.
That's true. And it could be difficult, you know, for some.
Yes.
When they're thinking about, you know, friendships. You know, sometimes the worst thing to do is take friendships for advantage, you know, take advantage of the friendships too.
Yeah.
Without even knowing about it.
I think we do it on a subconscious level. I think that we start going into we go into a mode of expectation. Like, we have these unspoken expectations of people, about people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you always think that they're going to be there. Or you always think that they're, you know, that your needs are going to be met. And it's not always about that, you know. So, yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, because I'm one of those people, you got to talk to me.
Yeah.
You know, because if I offended you or if I said something a certain way, you got to let me know because, you know, quite frankly, you know, mind is everywhere
yeah.
at the same time
uh-huh.
and in me.
Right.
Because, you know, I enjoy the life. And sometimes I might look like I'm aloof or I'm just
uh-huh.
a space cadet or whatever you want to call me.
Right.
But I don't believe in ADD, but, you know, it's kind of a universal, hey, I got to go over here. I'll be right back. I got to travel to this dimension. Okay, I'm back.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
But let's see a caller here.
Okay.
No. 484, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, who do we have with us?
Yes, my name is Antoinetta.
What's that again?
My name is Antoinetta.
Antoinetta, well, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
All right.
I'm calling up, I just started dating a new guy. His name is Daniel. And I've known him since I was a kid, but we kind of, you know, just crossed paths now. And we went out on one date, and it was wonderful, great, everything was perfect. I'm just wondering, where do you see this going with me and him?
Okay. I'm glad it was great and perfect. That's a good start.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. And I even took my 12-year-old daughter on the date with me. And, I mean, he bought us dinner. He bought her, you know, a Build-A-Bear from the Bear Workshop. I mean, everything was wonderful.
Okay. I actually pulled an animal card for you. I pulled the moose. The moose in this particular deck represents authority. You know what is best for you. I'm kind of curious why the universe would give me such a masculine card, like such a
moose,
a heavy card. This is a pretty powerful card. The moose is very, very protective animal. It marks its territory very well and doesn't let other moose into its vicinity too much. And it says, you know what is best for you. I'm guessing what I'm feeling here, the universe is telling me something that childhood relationships have a weird twist, per se. We have these perceptions of people, how we see them, how we knew them before. And then we have this really energetic charge of how we see them now.
Okay.
And then we try to somehow fuse the two together and see them for how they're going to be. And what I'm saying here, what the universe is channeling me to say to you is, the second date will reveal a lot to you about where you're going to be going with this relationship. And you have to, at that point, you have to make decisions. Is this a good relationship for me and my daughter? Is this a good relationship for me and this new person? What aspects of myself am I going to have to share with this person? Am I willing to share these aspects of myself? Am I willing to become a little vulnerable with this person? The best thing that Rosa said earlier to another caller is to create a friendship with this person. Friendships are very important, because then we get into these special, you know, partnerships. You know, we're looking for a partner, but we want that partner also to be on board with the we like and dislike of this. You know, there's going to be things about you that they may not like, and things about them that you don't like. And the biggest thing is when you bring a child into a relationship with somebody, they got to love both of you, not just one of you. You know, here's two people. So you got to do what's best for you at this. When this relationship doesn't look like it's going to go pan out in a modest and beautiful way, you say, this doesn't look right. And in the same token, if it looks great, well, this is us. This is a team. This is me and my child. Without saying, I hope you understand that. You know, I think that somehow you have to convey that story, because right now you're going to be on a euphoric high. You know, you're going to be in the infatuation mode. And I think the universe just wanted me to say, you know, stand your ground, but also be protective, but also be, you know, majestic like the moose, too. You don't have to give yourself away. And Rosie, anything you want to add?
That's interesting. I pulled a card of, it's called Letting Go. It's a sacred marker card, and letting go, and only you're going to know what this means to you and what your life has been about. Letting go has to do with releasing attachments, expectations and desires yet unfulfilled. Those are some of the aspects of that card. So when you receive this marker on your path, you're required to relinquish control and allow the mystery to act out as she will, to weave through life. Allow the mystery to weave through life as it's meant to be, according to the laws of the cosmos. And that's really interesting. You cannot force something to come or it to remain. If its true place is elsewhere, remember that what is yours can never be taken away. Allowing this is the key to this marker, for what is yours will come to you. So the same thing applies to the past as well. This is the time to let go of old hurts, resentments, and unresolved anger. For they're no longer welcome burdens on this path ahead that you have.
Right.
So old and outdated ideas of life, how you see others, who you are based, and who you were, these must also be left behind. Then you can move forward and unencumbered, stepping into the magic of the new and the present that leads into the best possible future, caller. I hope that helps. All right. Well, thank you. Wishing you a fun and adventurous journey ahead.
Yeah, I do feel fun energy. So if that helps anything, I do feel this very fun energy between you two, so
yeah,
that kind of went through there, kind of tickled me a little bit. So
yeah, and keep it always the friendship there, because that's what kept you connected, and you want
right.
that to keep you connected for the future as well. Mm-hmm. So thank you
okay.
so much. Thank you
thank
for calling,
you.
Sharon.
You.
Yep,
thank
take
you.
Care. Yeah, bye.
We want to thank everybody for
thank you so much for
tuning in with us,
sharing
in and sharing.
Everyone's got a lot of stuff going on. I mean, and to call us, it means a lot that you're sharing what's on your heart.
Absolutely.
And you're entrusting the spirit to channel through us and to share maybe something that you needed to hear, maybe something that maybe you got a reading and you didn't exactly like what you heard. Those are also invitations by spirit to look at the situation. It doesn't mean that that's exactly how it's going to happen.
Right.
It's an invitation. It's always an invitation. Life is an invitation.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, you have a choice in how you experience your life. You may have been blindsided, hit upside the head a couple times, but actually you can go back and revisit those experiences and choose to look at them in a different way. Again, that's by invitation. What did that serve you? How did that serve you? What did that teach you? Again, we're all evolving. We're all learning. We're all growing. So be open to the journey. Be open to the mystery. And know that it's all love.
Ho'oponopono.